almost didn't make it out the door.
Absolutely. Hey, you're recording.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is 6 p.m., and my name is Mary Julia Johnson. It is October 13th, and I would like to call this CJULE City Council meeting to order. Will you please all rise and say the Pledge of Allegiance with me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That was really lovely. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. That was very nice. It's nice to have other people join us. All right, I'll begin with roll call, and I will start with Councilmember Kevin Loy.
I'm here.
Okay. Councilwoman Sarah Diamond.
Present.
Councilman Brendan McGoffin.
Present.
Councilwoman Joellen Kesty.
Present.
Councilman Glenn Allen.
Present.
Councilman Chuck Owen.
Here.
And Councilman Carl DeYoung.
Present.
Thank you. All right. All right. You know the routine here, council members. I am actually looking for an approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
I motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. So I had a motion by Councilwoman Kesty, seconded by Councilman McGoffin. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. On to the consent agenda, items 1 through 5. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Loy. Is there a second?
Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. Diamond. So we have a motion by Councilman Loy, seconded by Councilwoman Diamond, to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Same sign? Okay, motion carries. All right, well, we actually have kind of a busy agenda tonight with regards to both recognition and also proclamations. And I'm going to begin with mentioning that this kind of came on at the last minute, but we want to recognize one of our employees who has been with us for 16 years and 5 months, and that is Ray Fox. He has, for those years, really given us distinguished service and within the public works and also within all of the city here, beginning on May 2nd, 2005. And on behalf of the city, the council, people of CJULE, we want to thank him for having benefited from all the cleaning and well maintenance of the public facilities that Mr. Fox has given us. And his last work day will be the 22nd of this month, and he will be retiring the end of this month. So if you would all please give Mr. Fox an applause, because he's not here to receive it, but we want him to know that we greatly appreciate all those years of dedicated service. Thank you. All right, if I could have Stephen Brenda Thompson and also Nathan come forward. And I personally have to say, when I heard that you were going to be retiring and closing your doors, I was saddened, because I am up there every spring and every fall purchasing plants and flowers from you, and I have a lovely garden thanks to all your efforts. But you have been very good to the city, and Nathan has worked with you closely, so I've asked Nathan if he would say a few words and present the plaque to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like I said, coming in the door, I didn't want to let you guys ride off into the sunset without saying thank you very much. I've had the pleasure of helping or working with you guys for about 20 of the 30 years that you guys have been doing this. So you've made me look very good and it made it very easy for me, and I appreciate that. So, but yeah, I just wanted to say thank you very much and present this token of our appreciation. Oh, yeah. So it says, presented to Steve and Brenda Thompson, Thompson's Greenhouse. Thank you for 30 years of providing the Cedar Woolley community with the beautiful hanging baskets and flower displays. Your efforts have helped us beautify the city and contributed to the atmosphere and culture of Cedar Woolley. With sincere gratitude, we present this token of appreciation this 13th day of October 2021, Mayor Julia Johnson.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you to your staff as well for all the your guys' crew over the years as well. So
yeah, thank you. Well, this is very special, and it's for a special community. So it's a pleasure to have done this over the years.
Are you going
to
be staying within the community? Or?
Are we staying here? Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes, yeah. We want to best be in place there is.
Well, thank you so much. As it was stated in the plaque, our downtown looks beautiful from May to September because of all those lovely flowers that you actually start growing a year ahead of time and getting things ready. So thank you very much.
Well, it takes a lot of care, too, by these people.
Yeah. They do a fantastic job, don't they, Hannah and Steve? Yeah. So. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Grace.
Okay, now we have a couple proclamations, and the first one is National Prescription Take Back Day. I don't know if Lieutenant Dan is on the line. Is he on the line tonight?
I am, and we have Jed Trammell from Cedar Woolley Rise as well.
Oh, excellent. Before I read the proclamation, would you two like to share a little bit about National Prescription Take Back Day and what's it about and how can people participate?
Is that finger was to me? Okay. My internet connection's a little spotty, so sorry. Madam Mayor, City Council, Department Heads, and guests, thank you so much for allowing us a few minutes to present to you. For those of you that don't know, my name is Jada Trammell. I'm born and raised right here in Cedar Woolley, local business owner. My husband and I own Low Auto Sales, and I am an employee of Cedar Woolley School District as the Community Coalition Coordinator. I co-coordinate our Community Coalition, which is Cedar Woolley Rise. It formed in the fall of 2018, and we are a group of community members that include youth, parents, law enforcement, city officials, other civic and volunteer groups, and many, many more people in our community. The mission of our coalition is that they're a partnership to inspire and strengthen positive change to build a healthy community. And their vision is that all youth are connected and thriving in a healthy and safe community. Our focus and our coalition is really on two factors on how to build a healthy community, and that is looking at our protective factors and our risk factors. As all of you know, we have some wonderful protective factors in our community that include anywhere from community connectedness, sports, 4-H, Boys and Girls Club, fraternal groups. I can go on and on. Our community is pretty amazing and really wraps their arms around our youth. And so thank you. I really just want to take the time to thank you for doing that and being there for our community. One of our prevention measures or strategies that we as a coalition and you as a city participate in is National Drug Take Back Day. This event happens twice a year, once in the fall and once in the spring. And the event really addresses it's a critical like public safety and public health issue. And that is the misuse and abuse of prescription drugs. Unused and expired prescription medications can lead to such things as accidental poisoning, overdose, and then eventually abuse. But to add to this, majority of the teenagers and youth that are abusing prescription drugs are getting those from friends and family, and yes, the home medicine cabinet. So these take back programs and events are our best way to, as a community, to dispose of old drugs, old prescription drugs. And we in Cedar Woolley are so lucky to have such an amazing community that supports this event, and to have you as a city that continues to show your dedication to the health and safety of our community, and really to those kiddos who are our future. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jada. Lieutenant Dan, did you want to add anything else?
I'll just add, and then you're going to read the proclamation and state some of the stuff, but it's going to be held October 23rd, Saturday, 10 to 2 p.m. And we really want to get anybody that has any of these extra prescriptions the opportunity to drop them off to us. It'll be right out in front on Metcalf Street, drive-through drop-off, let's get as much of that medication out of the houses if it's just sitting there. In addition, I just want to add, we do have other opportunities to dispose of those medications at Schaffner Pharmacy, Hometown Pharmacy, and here at the police department. We all have drop-off boxes for that. So just want to really get this going and keep this going to where we don't have to collect too much to do this, but we're still dedicated to have this day two times a year to keep this going and make a difference in that manner. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. So I will read the proclamation. Proclamation of the City of Cedar Woolley declaring October 23rd, 2021 as National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. Whereas National Prescription Drug Take Back Day is a safe, convenient, environmentally friendly, and responsible way to dispose of unused or expired prescription drugs, and whereas National Prescription Drug Take Back Day strives to educate the general public about the potential abuse of these medications, and whereas opioid abuse is at an epidemic level in the United States and remains as the top public health concern, and whereas over 12 million Americans age 12 and older misuse controlled prescription drugs, and the majority of abused prescription drugs that were obtained from family or friends, and whereas misuse of prescription narcotic drugs, opioids, is a major public health concern, and more than 130 people die each day from opioid overdoses, and whereas unused or expired prescription medications are a public safety issue, leading to potential accidental poisoning, misuse, and overdose. And whereas National Prescription Drug Take Back Day is a national initiative implemented to reduce prescription drug abuse and diversion, and whereas proper disposal of unused drugs saves lives, and whereas the City of Cedar Woolley Police Department, United General Hospital District 304, and the Cedar Woolley Community Coalition, Cedar Woolley Rise, will host a National Prescription Drug Take Back Day October 23rd, 2021, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to provide the opportunity for our community to prevent drug addiction and overdose deaths. Now, therefore, let it be proclaimed this 13th day of October 2021 by the Mayor and the City Council of Cedar Woolley that October 23rd, 2021 is hereby declared to be National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, and encourage all residents to participate in the turning in of all unused or expired medication for safe disposal and help to prevent drug addiction and overdose and deaths. In witness thereof, I have unto subscribed my name to be affixed on this 13th day of October 2021, Julia Johnson, Mayor. A lot of sobering information in that proclamation. The second proclamation is a wonderful proclamation, and it has to do with White Cane Day. And I didn't know if Ms. Torsett, if you wanted to come up and just give a few words regarding it at all, or did somebody want to come up and give a few words regarding it? This may be kind of unknown to a lot of people.
Do I keep this on while I'm at the microphone?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I wasn't expecting to speak, but I'll do the best I can. Mm-hmm. The Cedar Woolly Lions Club, and we have 7 of our members here, have asked that we have October 15th set aside and proclaimed as White Cane Safety Day. And I provided to you some stickers if you want more. There's some on the back table, and I also have more in my pocket. And there's also, I just learned today, an actual forum being done with 2 representatives from Lions Club MD-19, which is our past district governor, Patty White. What was her last name?
Patty White now.
She's Patty White now, and Rock White, along with a member from the National Council of the Blind. Is that right, Judy?
National Council.
And they're doing a little forum on Friday from 1 to 2:30 on Zoom. So if anyone would like to know more about the history of White Cane Day and the importance of it, there's a flyer there for you. But the Lions Club is really proud to be here for this today. And do you want me to introduce everyone?
No, I don't think that's necessary, but if with permission, and I've already asked Judy if it would be possible, I wanted to read a little bit about what she said, how she's been impacted by White Cane.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming up. In a wonderful text that I did receive from Judy Jones, who is blind, I want to read part of this because I think it makes you aware of how powerful this really is. She says, as a blind individual in our community, making time for blind awareness proclamation is important. I have been using a cane since I was a teen, allowing me to be independent and have mobility, meeting friends, going shopping, hanging out together. Later, the cane for me became independence to be successful in employment and to move across the country and marry. So I wanted just to read part of that because I think it's important to understand. It's just the little things sometimes in life that make a big difference, and there is a way that we can all contribute to this and make somebody's life better and contribute to our community. So without further ado, I will read the proclamation. Proclamation October 15th, 2021, National White Cane Safety Day. Whereas throughout the world, the long white cane is used by people who are blind or visually impaired as a tool for safe and reliable navigation. And whereas blindness and severe visual impairment affect approximately 285 million blind or partially sighted people worldwide, according to the World Blind Union. And whereas the white cane allows every blind person to move freely and safely from place to place, making it possible for the blind to fully participate in and contribute to our society and to live the lives they want. And whereas the cane is a symbol of the user's skills, talents, mobility, and independence, and the cane is a symbol to the sighted person that the user is visually impaired. And whereas RCW 7084040, the driver of a vehicle approaching a totally or partially blind pedestrian who is carrying a cane predominantly white in color, with or without a red tip, a total or partial blind or hearing impaired pedestrian using a dog guide, a person with physical disability using a service animal, or a person with a disability using a wheelchair or power wheelchair as defined in RCW 4604415, shall take all necessary precautions to avoid injury to such pedestrian or wheelchair user. Any driver who fails such precaution shall be liable in damages for injury caused, such as to the pedestrian or wheelchair user. It shall be unlawful for the operator of any vehicle to drive into or upon any crosswalk while there is such crosswalk, while there is in the crosswalk, pedestrian or wheelchair using or crossing or attempting to cross the roadway. If such pedestrian or wheelchair user is using a white cane, using a dog guide, using a service animal, or using a wheelchair or a power wheelchair, as defined in RCW 4604415, the failure of such pedestrian or wheelchair user to signal shall not deprive him or her the right-of-way in accordance with his or her other within the law. Whereas in 1925, Helen Keller challenged Lions Club International to be, quote, Knights of the Blind, end quote. And whereas in 1930, Lion George A. Bowman, president of Peoria Lions Club, Illinois, introduced the idea of using the white cane with a red band as a means of assisting the blind in independent mobility. And whereas the Cedar Woolley Lions, being a nonprofit organization and part of the Lions Club International, strive to meet the needs and assist the blind, visually impaired or hearing impaired. And whereas in 1964, the U.S. Congress approved a resolution authorizing the President of the United States to annually issue a proclamation designating October 15th as National White Cane Safety Day. And whereas in 1969, the International Federation of the Blind adopted October 15th as the International White Cane Safety Day. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that I, Mayor Julia Johnson, on behalf of the City of Cedar Woolley and the Cedar Woolley Council, do hereby proclaim October 15th, 2021, as National White Cane Safety Day in Cedar Woolley, and also acknowledge the importance of pedestrian safety year-round. In witness whereof, I have hereunto subscribed my name to be affixed this 13th day of October 2021, Julia Johnson, Mayor. So thank you. There was good information in there, too. That's really a wonderful, wonderful program. And thank you, Lions Club. I hear of the things that you do, and you do good work within our community, and we just can't thank you enough for that. Thank you. Before I close this, I just want to say that October has really been, I think, the crown jewel for a lot of organizations and agencies that want to acknowledge and make aware, bring awareness to their cause. And a couple of them that I want to mention is the National Disability Employment Awareness Month, which actually Skagit County Commissioners have also proclaimed. Also, breast awareness is also another one, breast cancer awareness. And also domestic violence, that is another one. And Chief Tucker, I know that you have been on the board for that. Would you like to say a few words about the domestic violence of Skagit County?
Absolutely, Mayor. Thank you. Yes, as many may already know, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and they've got events going on throughout the month. This year's theme for that is connections, making connections with the community, with ourselves, with youth, within relationships. And I guess one of the things that we try to observe is we've got a purple light going on or turned on in our front office that could be seen from the front window when you come up, just to kind of in recognition of the work that the folks for domestic violence are doing and the victims of domestic violence. And also on the 21st of this month is Purple Thursday. If you get a chance, maybe put that on your calendar. And if you can wear something purple, they're asking for a check-in on Facebook, a local Skagit domestic violence sexual assault services. You end up wearing something purple and can do a hashtag Purple Thursday. For those that aren't familiar with hashtag, you have to talk to somebody else because I'm not completely sure about that process myself. Yes, that, we got the pound sign. But how to do a hashtag, I'd have to ask one of my kids. But I got my nice purple domestic violence, sexual assault services board of directors shirt. I'm going to try to remember to wear that if I'm here. I have a baby granddaughter due on the 20th. I'm not sure I'll be here on the 21st. So, with that, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the opportunity to, bring that forward.
You are welcome, and thank you for the work you do. And again, I don't know if I said it, but I want to extend my thanks to the Lions Club for being here tonight. Thank you. Okay, we will move on to staff reports, and I will begin with Fire Chief Frank Wagner.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to start off and again recognize Jada and her team with the RISE Coalition. If you ever get a chance to sit in on one of those meetings, the amount of enthusiasm, dedication, and commitment that her and Danica Troop and those folks have is pretty amazing. Also, I wanted to recognize and thank Ray Fox for all of his years of service, because it doesn't matter if I come in here at 2 a.m. or 5 a.m., he's always got a smile on his face, and it takes a special person to put up with us for that many years and take such good care of us in the middle of the night. And I will not be here in the next council meeting, so I know you're going to be giving kudos and thanks to Ms. Teresa Nesheim for her years of service as well, and what a great partner she has been with Civil Service Commission, taking care of myself and Dan and Lynn with our folks on that side, and all of the payroll and human resources and multiple hats she's worn over the years. So from us, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The reports I have is we talked before about the new ambulance. It is now in service. We're waiting for a few little things to close out the billing and stuff on that, but it's on the road. The folks are giving us good reports on that, and that's what we're hoping to continue to get, because we're hoping to jump on that same spec for next year for those ER&R purchases as well. We continue to recruit and look for new staff for our residents, so anybody out there that has a nephew, a niece, a cousin, a brother, a sister that has their EMT, wants to get their EMT, is interested in the fire service needs a place to live. We got some rooms here for our resident program there, where they live here. We train them. We take care of them, get them ready for the big career down in the big city or to stay on with us, hopefully. We got some bad news this week with our FEMA grant that we brought forward to council last year, hoping to get that communications grant that we took on together with Clear Lake Fire, Fire District 8, 19, Birdsview. We were in it all the way till the very end, which is a good sign, which just means we were really close, because if you're not in the running, you usually get a denial letter really quick way back in March or April. We went all the way till it closed, and they ran out of money, so they told us to reapply next time, so we're reaching out to those districts to make sure they're still on board and looking at the possibility of doing that for the next round, which will start next year, of course. So that's a $300,000 push of equipment just for us alone that we unfortunately will not be spending, but we'll look forward to hopefully doing that next year. And that is all I have, other than I will not be here for the next council. So again, thank you to Teresa and Ray.
Frank, I know that you're going to be, I believe it is Assistant Chief Gardner who's going to be in the E-Desk. What is that?
Job fair?
Yes, yes, yes. Do you want to share about that? Because maybe somebody could check in with that and they would be able to speak with him directly regarding information regarding that.
He set up a online job fair site with E-Desk this afternoon, and I jumped on there, and what a neat way of using technology. Tamsin and those folks over there have done an amazing job. They had Peace Health was on there, Skagit Regional, Janaki, Hexel, Liuna, Labor Union. There was so many different options for those folks. And I last I heard this morning, there was 170 people online with resumes and applications. He was able to sit on there for 3 or 4 hours and be available for online questions and chats and sharing resumes. And what a neat opportunity. In fact, he was going to reach out to the school district to see if they can possibly use that for their CTE program to look at it. Because with his education background in the school district, the light bulbs went on, and the opportunities that can be there with that format are pretty phenomenal. And looking back at my years of recruiting with, you know, the private side with Target Corporation and stuff that we used to do with the college campuses, this would be phenomenal to be able to hit so many different agencies and folks in the professional or technical communities. So it's pretty neat, and what a great group of people.
Yeah, we want to thank EDAS for doing that. This is something new that they are doing. I believe this is the first or third job fair that they have had, and it's been fairly successful. All right, thank you, Chief. Moving on to Police Chief Lynn Tucker. We'll go back to you.
Got it. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Start off tonight just giving you an update on a personnel issue we've got going on. We have, I guess, talked to you before when we lost one of our members to his 1 year of military deployment overseas. We're still got a few months before we get him back. And now we just lost another one for 1 month, but only 1 month. But this will be a little bit of a benefit to us. He was promoted in the Air Force and is going to a law enforcement related leadership school for a month. So it's tough to lose a body, especially when we've gotten so busy lately. But the reward should be there when we get him back. So we'll get one of our guys back in about a month. He just left this last weekend. Second off, some of you may have heard we had a rather interesting incident out at United General Hospital on Saturday. Kind of goes along with what I said earlier about got a baby due here pretty soon. I was home enjoying pink cupcakes and doing a baby shower at the house while I was managing the other baby there. And I got a call from the on-duty folks that the SWAT team, all of the sheriff's office, all of the police department, some of Burlington, State Patrol, and everybody was out at United General Hospital. They had a subject, the sheriff's office brought in a subject who escaped from custody when he was let use the restroom. It climbed up into the overhead and the ceiling tiles and spent about an hour and a half in the ceiling tiles of trying to evade police. Did over, well, but somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 worth of damage in the overhead of the business from what we're hearing. Got called in from the baby shower to go help out with that and bring in some supplies. And I guess it's a good point to put out to you all, too. We actually got some great assistance from Public Works on a Saturday. I think Mark was grumbling a little bit that he's going to end up having to pay them some overtime. But I can't say enough, when we ask for some help from those folks in our Public Works crew, they jump through hoops. We had a truckload of ladders out there to climb up in the overhead and help bring this guy down, and they were outstanding. It's just great to see that. Dan and I found a manhole off the other day, and we called in one of them off duty and came in to help us retrieve a manhole from the bottom of the storm drain. We're not conspiring to get them some overtime dollars, Mark, I promise, but I don't think they were complaining too much. But, yeah, we resolved the incident out at United General Hospital, getting the subject back in custody. I've described it as we believe that the guy developed incarceritis on his way to jail. And for those that don't know what incarceritis is, it's whenever you get sick, whenever you're going to jail. So you have to go to the doctor before going to jail. It's kind of one of those delaying tactics, I do believe. The guy apparently didn't have any issues doing burglaries and stealing stuff until he got arrested. Then his chest started hurting. So kind of weird how that happens. We had, and and some of this has been kind of phenomenon that most of our agencies have been experiencing since we've gotten some of these legislative mandates dropped on us, is we have had almost nightly eludings. And there's absolutely nothing we are doing about it right now. We're trying to identify who's driving away from us, but our officers will turn around, look at a suspicious looking character in a vehicle. And more often than not, it's a either just reported or not quite reported stolen vehicle yet. They punch it up to 100 miles an hour and we watch their taillights dwindling in the distance. Almost every agency is experiencing that. And we've been getting it almost nightly as some of the subjects have been running from us. I know that was probably not an intended consequence of some of the legislative mandates that were dumped on, I mean, introduced by some of our friends down in Olympia, but it's what we're experiencing. So we're keeping an eye out for that. But in the letter of the law, we are not going to pursue them. And most of them are not a good idea for us to pursue anyway. A little too dangerous driving 100 miles an hour anywhere around here. So it's not all legislative mandates and me complaining about that, but there is a bit to that. And the final thing I've got is if you see Lieutenant McElwraith looking a little bit tired there, he's been sitting at his desk pretty much all day, every day, incorporating our new policy manual into service. And I can't think of too much that is more mind-numbingly boring than doing that, but it's one of the most important things we're doing right now. Those model policies that we're getting from this this big policy rebuild are making our attorney, Nikki, very happy, and they're keeping our officers safe and the city safe. And it's all a good thing, but he is shouldering the burden along with the sergeants as well. They've all been sitting through and reviewing all of our policies. And I can't remember, it's 600 or 700 pages long. And they're having to study the whole thing and review it. All I have to do is read. What's that? I thought somebody said. So, and with that, we're hoping Dan will get done with that sometime in the next few months, and we'll get that imposed. And the good thing about that is it incorporates automatically all of these changes in the legislature and laws that they've been sending our way, and we would have had no way of doing that ourselves. So it's a good thing, but it's a tough job, and Dan's been taking it on, and doing a great job at it. As far as I know, he's been doing a great job. He drinks a lot of coffee, so not sure about that. And Mayor, that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Chief. And a huge thanks to you, Lieutenant McElwraith, for taking on that tedious but very, very important job. Thank you. Okay, moving on to Public Works Director Mark Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. We had our pre-construction conference today for the wastewater public works building project, well attended by the contractor and all the supporting staff. So they're planning to mobilize on the 18th of October and get that project underway. So you should see some activity down there. Nathan's had his contractor doing the fencing project out at the Northern States Recreation Area thing. That should finish up in the next number of days. Went well. We had an archaeologist standing by the entire time under the requirements of our permit for that project, and fortunately, we didn't find anything of interest there. Also, the Fire Station 2.75, I think they're calling it, storage building project. They were setting the trusses on that this week, and so that building's moving right along. And we also have a contractor replacing the pumps at the State Street Pump Station. That's in progress. They'll probably get that back online about the middle of next week. And we will advertise for bids with your permission granted tonight on the consent calendar for the SR20, SR9 Township Intersection Project. The ad will be placed tomorrow, and we're looking at a pre-bid conference on the 26th and bidding that on the 4th. We're hoping to, if the bids come in okay, have that on the council agenda for the 10th so we can get that project under contract and awarded. We confirmed today that the signal poles are about 6 months out, so that's why we're bringing this in kind of late in the year. We want to time this so that we have the materials available to build that project in July and August and September window of next year. So other than that, we're busy on some design work here and doing some other planning things, and that's it for me, Mayor.
Thank you, Mark.
Madam Mayor, I have a question for Mark.
Yes, Councilman DeYoung.
Thank you. Mark, I received some feedback in the neighborhood there on Talcott and Railroad, specifically some line of sight issues with some landscaping that is kind of forcing drivers to poke their nose out onto Railroad. Is there something that could be done about that, or what are some solutions that we could help with the safety of that intersection? I know that we're doing an engineering fix here in some subsequent years, but what can we do now?
Yes, I apologize for not calling you back on that.
No worries at all. No worries at all.
We were busy getting that ad out and had a few hair pullers there at the last minute. Yeah, Nathan has been working with the owner at the and Laura Carr mostly has been working with the owner there to deal with that site distance issue. It's plantings on the corner, as you know, and they did cut them back to about under 30 inches of height. So they've done what we've asked them to do there. I haven't driven back out there to see if that fully solved the problem. If you've gotten a recent complaint, it may be that they're still concerned about it. But code enforcement has been pretty diligent about working with the owner, and they have been cooperative to try to remove that barrier. So,
thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. Moving on, Building and Permits Director John Coleman.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. Thank you. Not a lot to report, just continuing with the Planning Commission agenda. On Tuesday, again, we'll be talking about two rezones and some parking, requested parking changes in the Urban Village mixed use. That'll be the second hearing on each of those. We're having a public hearing in the rezones and just more study on the parking issue. That one will go on for a while. before it makes its way to council. And otherwise, things are moving along nicely in the building and planning department. Plenty going on, but we've got it handled. So that's all I have to say for today.
All right. Thank you, John. Finance Director Debbie Burton.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Pleased to welcome Janine Goss to my team. She's going to be our payroll and HR assistant. So she and Teresa have been doing lots of training. So we're excited to have a full staff now in finance. So hopefully things will settle down a little bit. Upcoming in November, December, you will see a lot of me as the end of the year is when we do a lot of discussions about our finances and our property taxes and all those good things. So I will be setting information and looking forward to speaking with you as we get towards the end of the year.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, we've, through those couple of retirements, we've lost a lot of really historical knowledge. But I have to say, the individuals that you have brought on, we're really fortunate to have. They're very qualified. So thank you for being diligent about that.
Thank you.
City Attorney Nikki Thompson, good evening.
Good evening, Mayor. This evening, I have a couple of things to mention. As Chief Tucker said, I am very excited about the Lexapol policies, and I get very happy every time the lieutenant sends me an email with another policy to review, which is rather strange, but it is a fact. I'm also working with Chief Tucker to rewrite the criminal code. It does need some updating. It's got language that probably hasn't been changed in 15 or 20 years that we need to address. And also, it doesn't incorporate the RCWs in the way that I would recommend that it do. So he has a draft of an ordinance that rewrites the criminal code entirely, and hopefully you'll be able to see that sometime in the near future. We've also reached the final stages of negotiations on a couple of franchise agreements, including Comcast, which you'll see on the agenda tonight, and PSE. There's a couple of things we still have to work out with PSE, but hopefully that'll be on your agenda early next month. The summons and complaint that you authorized me to file last week has been filed, and the defendant has been served. So that process is now underway, and we're hopeful that we can resolve it in a timely fashion. We are also in the final stages of negotiations of a fairly significant development agreement. That development agreement will allow for connection of an arterial between Cook Road and FNS Grade Road. So it's a fairly important agreement, and I would anticipate that coming before you next month as well. That's all I have this evening.
All right. Thank you, Nikki. And our city administrator, Dr. Doug Merriman.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, Council. Just a couple items for you. A lot of things going on with staffing, as you've heard. We've had a lot of positions we've been hiring and getting some new faces in our area here. We have two positions we're still working on. We did hold interviews for a new court clerk last week, and we do have a finalist that we've extended a conditional offer letter to, and so we're working with Judge Stiles on completing that process. It's a good timing. There are a couple different areas in our court process that we need to take a look at as far as how we screen applicants for indigent defense and different things like that. So you'll see a couple smaller contracts coming forward probably in the next few weeks as we kind of redefine a little bit our court process and how that interacts with the court clerk position. We had a couple recommendations from the auditor's office last year that we're finalizing those things up. So I think we'll be off and running smoothly. We will definitely miss Heidi, though, who has been there for a long time and has done a great job for us. The other position is a building inspector plans examiner. That has been a difficult process. John has been jumping in, doing building inspections half the day. We don't know where he finds the telephone booth to jump into to spin and turn into Superman. But he's been doing that quite a bit for the last few weeks. But we'll be very happy. We do have a candidate there as well. We're going through some negotiations right now and have a draft conditional offer letter to that candidate. So we're hoping to get that one filled maybe by the end of this next week. The planning department has a project going on. We've been talking about our permitting process. And it's always one of those things, you want to make sure you're running things as efficiently as possible. And we have staff in the planning department have some great ideas on things that we can be doing. We did have a lien specialist team come in from the state auditor's office and worked with us just on talking about how we do and process permits. So over the next few weeks, we'll be working on coming up with some ideas and developing that. When you look at all the applications we have coming in right now, when we're in excess of 100 of different lots and things, we really want to make sure that we're flexing to that and we're still keeping our efficiency level up, even when we get a big mountain of permits coming in at one time. So this is a pretty important process that we'll be completing up, and it'll be a good thing for the city. Speaking of other good things for the city, we have our 2022 legislative priorities to talk about. And this is something that we do in the fall, typically each year. Some of us have been through that numerous times. But this is where you as a council will prioritize with the mayor a few different items that you would like our legislative team down in Olympia to consider and to support us on. And we've done this in the past. Typically, you choose about three items. You put together, basically you market it. You market it to your legislators. And then if you need any assistance from them on getting money in the legislature or even just support a concept like that, that's very important to do. I'll be actually working with my follow-on person, Charlie Bush, who'll be coming in, and he and I actually corresponded on it today. So he'll be working with you on drafting up new legislative priorities that will go into effect for next year. So you'll see that coming up probably in the next meeting or two. And I think that's all I have on my list for tonight.
All right. Thank you, Doug. I'm going to kind of change it up here a bit. I'm going to usually I go last. I'm going to put myself out in front there. Because it was very exciting. Today at 9:30, there were a number of us from both the chamber and also from downtown that went to Oliver and Hammer to celebrate with them their 100th anniversary. And I don't know if you are aware of that, but they have been here in the city for 100 years, which is absolutely extraordinary. You know, it tells you a lot about who they are, people who provide, as you know, excellent service, but also they're very tenacious to be able to have survived 100 years and be successful at what they're doing. So if you're downtown, pop in and just wish them a happy anniversary. Also, I found out today from Chief Tucker that the U.S. Navy is also celebrating 246 years of being around. So that's their birthday is this month or today, maybe even today, I'm not sure. The U.S. Navy, 246 years. And I want to extend my gratitude to the League of Women Voters who Monday night hosted a candidate forum. It was via Zoom, but it's also been recorded. So it's on our YouTube as well as their YouTube link. And so you can go and watch that if you so choose. It was very well done. The League of Women Voters always do a great job, and I think that they stand as great examples of being citizens who actually take our democratic process forward. And I think that's a good example for all of us. And then just one last thing, Doug already mentioned it, and that is our new administrator, Charlie Bush, is going to be starting the first part of November. He's already been joining us in our manager's meetings, and like Doug said, he's already been meeting with some of us and becoming acquainted. And I'm very excited for all of you to get to know him. He's going to be a wonderful asset to our community. So with that, I will turn this over to our council members, and I will begin with Councilman Kevin Loy.
I have nothing tonight, Mayor.
All right, thank you. Councilwoman Sarah Diamond.
I don't have a whole lot tonight. Just a couple reminders mentioned to me by a few constituents in the neighborhood. And that was just reminding to our neighbors to pick up the yard toys and all of those fun summer toys as we had the windstorms. We had a few neighbors that had their neighbors' trampolines in their yards, on their fence, and those sorts of things, and we'd hate to see some damage done to property when we could tie them down or put them up or whatever needed to be done with that. So just a reminder to some of the people in town that we might want to do that for the safety of your own personal property and well-being of your possessions. And then also a reminder to lock your cars and remove your valuables. There has been an uptick in some car prowls. I've had some neighbors and constituents also mention that. So just a reminder, and Chief Tucker did touch on that and mentioned that they've seen some of this stuff happening. So, again, just a reminder because there have been people in my ward that have made mention of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Councilman Brendan McGoffin.
Hi, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just have one thing tonight. It has to do with the House Bill 1323, which is the long-term care tax. Just a friendly reminder that the eligibility for an exemption is coming to an end November 1st, 2021. I haven't had a chance to talk to Debbie about this, but I would like the city to at least look at education for our employees, that this is their only chance to apply for the exemption if they can purchase private long-term care insurance. And I know for my employer today, we just got an update with partnership where my employer partnered with an insurance company, and it made the process really seamless. I'd been trying before, and it was pretty difficult. So I'd like, I'm not sure if the city's done anything. Maybe, Debbie, you can fill in. I'd like to at least give our employees that opportunity, though.
I'd be happy to share. So through our Association of Washington Cities, they did offer our city employees a plan that meets the criteria for exemption from the state plan. So our employees that were interested in that option have applied for that. And we are now promoting for everybody who does have an exemption opportunity to register with the employment security. And we have given them instructions, and we'll do that throughout the rest of the month so that our staff can apply for the exemption if they have coverage.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Joellen Kesty.
All I have tonight is just congratulations to Oliver and Hammer on their 100-year success. So,
all right, thank you. Councilman Glenn Allen.
Nothing tonight, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councilman Chuck Owen.
I have nothing, Mayor.
All right, thank you. And Councilman Carl DeYoung.
Thank you. It was covered with my question to Mark earlier, so thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Okay, with that, we are through with staff and council reports, and we will move on to public comment. Right now, it is 6:56, and I will open up public comment for anyone who would like to come forward. Please keep it to 3 minutes, and if you can give your full name and your address, that would be appreciated. So is there anyone who would like to come forward for public comment? Okay. Nobody within the chamber here is coming forward, and I do not see anybody online who would like to make public comment. So at 6:57, I will close public comment, and we will move on to new business. We only have one item on the agenda tonight, and this is a first read, and it is Ordinance 1993-21, the franchise renewal with Comcast Cable Communication Management, LLC, which our city attorney, Nikki Thompson, did mention to us, and I believe she's going to lead us through this. Nikki?
Thank you, Mayor. As the mayor said, this is a first read on the renewal of the Comcast franchise agreement. State law gives cities the authority to regulate the public rights of way, and one of the ways that we do that is through a franchise agreement. A franchise agreement is essentially a very large contract that gives broad permission to utilities and others to utilize the public right-of-way. So what these types of agreements often include are things like how the grantee is going to use the public right-of-way, the services it's going to provide, permitting requirements that the city might have that they need to follow, how the work is to be done, how they are supposed to repair the rights-of-way after they open them, how much the grantee is going to pay for the use of the right-of-way, and insurance and indemnification requirements. It's a very extensive document. This particular agreement is with Comcast, and it is a 10-year contract. It is non-exclusive, which means that we can also grant franchises for other utilities to put their lines or their infrastructure within the right-of-way. It's not just for Comcast. We have recently finished negotiating this particular agreement. Vincent Bies from Comcast is actually on the line as well. I can see him here. So if there are any questions about the agreement itself, or if you want to hear from Vincent, he is available to you. Otherwise, this agreement, like I said, is long and comprehensive. If you have questions, please feel free to ask those of me at a later time after you've had a few days to go through it. This will come back to you at our next meeting. Franchises are actually one of those things that you can't pass on the first read. So you will see it again. I'm happy to stand for any questions at this point, or Mr. Bies is also present, and he's happy to answer questions as well.
I've got a question for you. I read through that, and I believe I read that the city receives a 5% fee for the, I assume, the gross on Comcast business here. And I was just wondering a general, you know, because you can't tell what the future brings because you don't know how many customers they have. But is there a year somebody could pick and just say what kind of income that provided the city?
Are you asking if we can track the amount of income that Comcast provides to the city? We can.
No, I'm asking what the, say, pick a year, just how much income did the city receive from that agreement?
Yes, and that would be something that Debbie can pull up.
So that would just be an interesting thing to know. And am I right where it's a 5% fee?
It is, and that's what the law allows.
Okay, now that's in addition to on our Comcast bills, whatever the taxes are on the city has there. Those are two separate items?
Yes, the utility taxes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So will somebody let me know what that number was?
I am certain that Debbie will take a look at that and send you that information.
Yeah, I'd be happy to send you that information. I'll send it all to everyone in the council tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Councilman Loy. Is there anyone else with questions for either our attorney, Nikki Thompson, or Mr. Byes from Comcast? Okay, hearing none, you will be seeing this again on our at our next council meeting. And is there anything else that you would like to share, Nikki, before we close?
No, thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you. All right, well, that wraps up our meeting for tonight. I want to thank everybody again for being here. It's always a joy to see people within the seats. Usually we're looking at maybe one person or sometimes nobody at all. So thank you so much for coming. And Mr. and Mrs. Thompson, the lid to your plaque is here. I don't want you to run off without it, all right? Thank you again for being here. All right, if there is nothing else, we are adjourned. Thank you.